Hey, this is WTOP's Jason Fraley, and we are here with, just say your name and your title.
I'm Kathy Frankel. I'm the Deputy Director for Interpretive Content at the National Building Museum.
And?
I'm Leonard Marcus, and I'm the curator of the show, Building Stories.
Awesome. So tell me when this launches. It's this weekend, right?
So yes, we launch this weekend. We have a huge community blowout on Sunday all day. So we hope everyone will come in out of the cold and come see us.
Awesome. And it's open to the public, right?
Open to the public, yes. Yes, Sunday is open to the public. We are free that day, so we hope all our old friends and new friends will come and see us.
Nice. So you said free that day. So is it only free on Sunday and then it's ticketed paid after that, or is it free the whole time?
So the museum is ticketed. There is sort of different pricing structure for kids and adults, but we will be free once a month, one Saturday a month. This is a Sunday this month, I realize, okay. But otherwise one Saturday a month. So check our calendars to see when you can come for free, but you can come anytime and buy a ticket, and the ticket gets you to see everything in the museum, not just the Building Stories exhibition.
So it's an overall ticket to the National Building
exactly.
Museum, and then while you're here, you can see your cool exhibit that I'm excited to go check out.
Exactly.
All right, cool. And how long does it run at the museum?
It is running for 10 years. This is a long-term exhibition. We have really committed to it. We know we have an audience for it, and it was a lot of work, and it's really beautiful. So
Wow. We're
keeping it up for a good long time.
There you go. If you're planning to have a family by 2034, you can bring them here.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, well, tell me a little bit. You're the creator of and curator of the exhibit. What was the idea? How'd you get the idea to begin with?
Kathy and I talked at the beginning because I had curated a show at the New York Public Library that she liked a lot. And we thought Building Museum would be the best place in the world to do a show that reflects on the idea of home and what it means to find your place in the world.
And what's behind
through children's books.
Oh, through children's books.
Yeah.
So what's going a little bit into what's in a name? Building Stories. Why this storytelling is important here?
Well, all of us as humans are storytelling animals, and children are drawn to stories from the beginning of life. And stories are one of the ways that we, put a frame around the chaos of experience. And think of the book Goodnight Moon that a lot of toddlers grow up with. It's all about having a room, which is a place where you feel safe and secure and where you can begin to explore what it means to be alive. So that book is in this show and many others which carry the idea beyond the earliest years to the time when you begin to want to have adventures and explore the world, and the time when maybe you go out in the world and want to go back and find the home where you started.
Awesome. Well, you mentioned Goodnight Moon. I'm going to put together two radio pieces, and I'll probably, have time. We'll do some overview stuff at the top of each piece, but I would like, at least on the radio, I'll probably have room for maybe like two good examples of different parts of the exhibit. So why don't we highlight a couple specific things? So in addition to Goodnight Moon, what are some things we can zero in on?
Well, we have some cases about the maps that you find in children's books, like Harry Potter, the Phantom Toll Booth. How do you draw someone into a world that doesn't exist? One of the ways is by creating a map, which gives you a kind of way for your imagination to enter into that world. I think often those maps appear at the beginning and the end of a book, and people love them. And I think they're going to be kind of thrilled to see a whole collection of these imaginary places put before their eyes.
Wow. So almost like the overview map where you see where Hogwarts is located.
Exactly.
Think of the opening of Game of Thrones. It's all a map. Like that, they set the world. Or Lord of the Rings, you get the Middle Earth. The maps help
mm-hmm.
set the tone.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, any others? Any other specific examples?
Oh, gosh. Well,
there's a lot.
We have a whole wall that's devoted to what people's homes look like all around the world, and we want people to think about cultural differences and what environment and culture and economics have to do with the way people live. And, we all have our own home, but I think it sort of opens up the world to people, literally, to see that not everyone does it the same way.
And are you saying in stories particularly, like the homes in storybooks?
Yes,
okay.
Right.
What are some examples of some famous homes of some characters that might be in there?
There's Eloise living in the Plaza Hotel, for one.
Yeah.
There's a book called The House That Baba Built by a Caldecott-winning Chinese-American illustrator, Ed Young. And he grew up in Shanghai in the 1930s. And it's the story of his father, who was an architect engineer, the house that he built then. So it's rooted in the history of you know, one of the great cultures of the world, and also in the concept of architecture and what, how you make a place into your home.
I love it. All right, so you've given me really good, you know, specific examples of the maps as it ties into storytelling, the houses as it ties into storytelling. What are some other, are there any other couple things that we could do, like under specific examples?
Sure. Well, in the first gallery, we wanted to get people thinking about beginnings, like how children begin to experience the world through children's books, especially as it relates to the theme of the show. So we have a whole wall of alphabet books. There are 26 books, each open to a different letter, each by a different artist. So alphabets are the building blocks of storytelling, right? And then we have real building blocks. Which is how children sitting on the rug at home when they're 3 or 4 years old begin to think about the house of their, the home of their dreams, you know, and how they can have an impact on the world that we as humans construct. So the show starts off by setting off a kind of parallel between building stories and building buildings.
I love it. So I like that you're talking about literal building and, you know,
yes,
more metaphorical.
Yeah, yeah. And then as the show unfolds, there are many ways in which it invites the visitor to think about how they can be builders too. Everybody gets a sketchbook to carry through the show so they can draw. The artists are not only the ones who are on the walls, you're an artist too. And it ends with big building blocks in the last gallery that you are big enough to hold in your arms, having seen small ones in the cases in the first gallery. So the whole thing comes full circle.
I love it. And one more before we bring it back that we're here. Any time for one more specific
example? Of course.
Because I'm already mapping this out in my head. I feel like we'll introduce, you know, with Kathy, you know, we're at the building museum, and then I'll boom, two examples. So mm-hmm. we'll do maps and the houses and mm-hmm. the building or the language building blocks, and the time
sure.
for one more.
Sure. Well, we have a section about what we call magic portals. And it's a kind of story where, you know, you're living in your mundane world, but you have this fantasy that if you could just go through a door or fall down a rabbit hole or pass through a toll booth,
yeah.
you end up in this magical world, which is the world of your dreams. And we've brought a whole bunch of those books together to give people a chance to think about that very common fantasy. You know, in New York, everybody has the fantasy that there's an extra room in their apartment that they don't know about. They could just get to it. But
to pay that rent, there's got to be more than that.
Exactly.
There's efficiency.
So it happens in a much more wonderful way in children's books than it does in real estate.
What are some examples? You mentioned Phantom Tollbooth by Alice in Wonderland. Like, what are some other portals there?
Well, the Narnia stories by C.S. Lewis, you know, you walk through essentially a closet,
yeah.
and you end up in this magical world. And, you know, Harold and the Purple Crayon is kind of like that, where you pick up a crayon and you start drawing, and suddenly you've made a world that you didn't know existed before, except in your imagination.
That's so awesome. I want to bring it back over here because, you know, you can speak more to the museum
yes.
side of it, right? Something he said that's really interesting was how it was like the we're talking about literal building, which mm-hmm. is what you deal with all the time with exhibits here, but
yep.
also the metaphorical. Just kind of, I don't know, go into that a little bit about how you think it's cool that building can mean multiple things.
Yeah, I mean, when we first started thinking about the show, when I first approached Leonard, you know, I was thinking that there's a lot of books about construction, Mike Mulligan and the Steam Engine, and I was stuck on that until we sort of started talking further and really discovered it's about people finding their place in the world, which is really what we're all about. We're about building, but we're about how the built environment impacts us and how we impact it. And what a better way than through children's books. And we also sort of I understood sort of early on, better than I had before, that the buildings and the cities in these books aren't just the backdrop. They're another character, essentially, that are really moving the stories forward. So sort of recognizing that in children's books has really brought it to sort of where I think our visitors will understand the built environment a little bit better and realize it's, you know, we know we're surrounded by it here, but we're surrounded by it emotionally and intellectually as well.
Right. Awesome. Now, when you went in there and started seeing, I know it's still sort of under construction. Ironic, it's still being built.
Yes, right? It's being built.
We might have to say that on camera. That's good stuff. When you went in there, though, did you see any storybooks that you loved as a kid? Or, I don't know if you have, you know, your own kids or nieces or nephews or whatever, but like, you know, any of the books that are favorites, some personally to you or yours?
Absolutely. I mean, I have a lot of favorites. I do have two children who are now in college, so they're not as interested, but I still have saved all their books. But I actually have my grandfather's children's books and mine as well. And I keep trying not to do this, but I come back to Eloise, which was sort of the book that I brought to the beginning. And what I've realized, it's, you know, it was playful and she was naughty, which I was not when I was a kid. But it's really about agency and sort of, and these children in these books having agency over their built world, that she has agency over the plaza. She is the ruler of that. And I think understanding that as a kid and even as an adult is really moving and really inspiring to me and hopefully to our viewers here as well.
Awesome. And I guess final seconds before, because I mostly want to just go check it out. I can't
it's
wait.
It's spectacular.
Now. So I guess just in closing, you know, pretend... And I'm not even here and talking directly to the listeners. Someone riding in their car listening to WTOP. And just invite them out. You know, hey, everyone, come down to the building museum. You're going to have a good time.
Yeah, please come down. We are so excited about this show. We're so excited about welcoming new visitors. This is for kids and adults alike. There are lots of fun interactives in there. That'll be fun for everybody, but there is a lot of scholarship. Leonard is a scholar. There's a lot of scholarship in there, and I think there's a lot, many, many lovers of children's books. Would be hard pressed to find somebody who didn't love children's books. So this is for everybody, and we are so excited for people to start coming to see it this weekend.
And we were all children at one point, right?
Exactly.
So that's why this works, no matter what age you are.
That's right. And really, the best children's books are for everyone, you know, because they talk about the most basic things in life in the clearest possible way. And I think people are going to remember the books they grew up with, and they're going to make all sorts of amazing connections that it never occurred to them to think about, because nobody ever thinks about children's books in a kind of historical or sort of, you know, overall way. It's always very personal. But here you get to do both.
Yes, I love it. For the young and young at heart. All right, let's go walk through the portal. Let's go through our own portal. Let's go check it out.